Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in central Watford. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
You guys are so outstanding in your craziness for Jesus, in your ability to catch hold of the Father's heart, to see an individual but take nations, to love a person by person. And I know you're going to share more about this, but I just want to honor you for the fact that you challenge us to go further. You challenge us to go beyond. You challenge us to not settle. And your strategic intentionality about seeing the Great Commission fulfilled is simply breathtaking. And your authenticity and the fact that we laugh more with you than with many people just keeps it real. So you're just beautifully grounded, but accessing heaven for people. And it is honestly a pleasure and an honor that they've made time in their schedule, because their schedule is nuts. I cannot underestimate how nuts for Jesus this couple are. So their schedule reflects that in a beautiful way. So the fact that you were able to come en route to somewhere else, I'll let you share if you want to about where you're heading, but the fact that you were able to come through Watford is just an honor and a pleasure. So I'm going to introduce, first of all, Becky, and then she will take from there. Please give a big whoop whoop to Becky. Love you, honey pie. Have lots of fun. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Well, we're nowhere near as good as she makes out. But honestly, it's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. So she's just about to underline that I didn't get it right, but I did, but I didn't say something else. So you're just about to say you're not that good. But Tim's then told me off, and I have to edit this because if you don't hear this, then you don't really know. So you know we just sent the team to Sierra Leone? Well, £1,000 of setting up the generator and all those computers came from your mission funding that you normally give to other people, which is outstanding that not only you have your own thing, but you have ours. So you can stop putting it down about what God is doing to you, because actually, although I didn't say it and that was wrong, and I've just been editing it, you are outstanding. And honestly, what has happened in Sierra Leone was because these two guys went on our mission trip with Tim last year, caught the heart of it and invested in Wellspring's mission, which is cool, isn't it? Sorry to heckle. I won't do it again.
Heckle away. No, it's honestly, it really is a pleasure to be here. Tim and Helen have become great friends of ours. And like she just said, iron sharpens iron. And you guys just exemplify what it is to be a couple working together in ministry. And so we're learning a lot from you guys. So it's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be here meeting you all. We had the honour of going last November to Sierra Leone, to Joel's Academy, and the work you guys as a church are doing there is phenomenal. You know, the work with the kids there is incredible, right there in Allentown, in one of the worst parts of Freetown, in the part where Ebola was ravaged, and you guys are ministering right there in that area, and that's incredible. So we want to honour you as a church for stepping out, and, you know, it's not a case of us in our little corner doing what we're doing and you in your little corner doing what you're doing. But it's the beauty of church is when we come together in unity, we really can see this world transform through the love of Jesus Christ. And so it's an honor to partner with you guys with what you are doing in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone is a nation that is incredibly, incredibly precious to us. It's a place where God did a deep work. When I was a young girl, God put a passion in my heart for children, about specifically running a children's home. And I remember coming home as an 18-year-old girl and telling everyone, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to run a children's home. Because as an 18-year-old, I thought that meant it would happen tomorrow. Except a year passed by, and then another year passed by, and then a decade passed by, and still this children's home had not miraculously dropped out of the sky. And but during this time, I was going on short-term missions trips. I believe firmly in blossoming where you're planted. So whether that's serving your employer to the best of your ability, serving your local church with all your passion, with excellence, and going out on short-term missions trips and learning from other organisations who are already out there doing it. And so I found myself out in Sierra Leone. And it was 2006, and I was on the streets of Bur. And this little girl came running up, and she simply wasn't wearing any shoes. You know, sometimes we can complicate the gospel, you know, with all its wherefores. And sometimes the gospel's incredibly, incredibly simple. In fact, always it's incredibly simple, because it always comes down to love. If you want to sum it all up in anything, it's love. Because if you want to sum him up in one word, it's love. Incredible, incredible love. And so I saw this little girl. She simply didn't have any shoes. So I took her to the marketplace and bought her some flip-flops. The flip-flops cost me 50, maybe 60 pence. It wasn't some huge act of generosity. Just, I was a student myself at the time. It was all I had, bought her some flip-flops. That evening, we were going and doing a big gospel campaign. And all day, I'd been telling her about this Jesus. So I wanted us to come to the gospel campaign and hear from a much more eloquent speaker about this man Jesus had been talking about all day. And so I said, come back tonight and we'll take you with us to the gospel crusade. And she came up and she was stood outside the hotel waiting to go. And she turned to me and she said, Becky, should I wait in the hotel? I said, no, honey, we're literally just getting in the cars. We're going to go right now. And she said, yes, but shouldn't I wait in your room? Now, if she'd have looked at my husband, Matt, and said that, I would have immediately known what she was saying. But here was a 9-year-old little girl looking at a young girl asking if she should wait in her room. And I thought she couldn't possibly mean what I think she's saying. And so I asked her a third time, and sure enough, Felicity, a little street kid aged 9, thought I had spent 50 pence on her so that I could have her body. And she was willing to give it for 50 pence. Now, I'd read about this. I'd read about kids selling their bodies for a bottle of Coke. I'd read about it. I'd seen the TV adverts. I'd seen the documentaries. But nothing can quite prepare you for a child to look you in the eyeball and think that you deserve their body for 50 pence. And something happened that day in my heart on the streets of Sierra Leone. Something rose up that said, you know what? That's enough. That's enough. I'm fed up of seeing children and their dignity taken, their childhoods robbed. I'm fed up of seeing it. And sometimes all it takes is for Christians to stand up and say, that's enough. You know, just another one of your loved ones diagnosed with something. That's enough sickness in my family. Another one in your town that's been trafficked. You know what? That's enough. And sometimes when we'll just rise up with the love and the passion of Jesus enough to say, that's enough, then God can do incredibly and wonderful things. Fast forward a few years, we now have a beautiful children's home in Kenya. We have 200 gorgeous babies, all look like their mama, of course. Slightly more tanned than me, but they're my babies nonetheless. And we have, every time I take another girl into my home, it's little Felicity that I'm rescuing again and again. You see, I don't know what happened to Felicity. Back then, there was no children's home. Back then, there was no non-profit organisation. There was no charity. There was nothing. Just a heart that said yes. And, you know, sometimes you're looking at your life thinking, well, what can I do? You know, you might not be the most academic person in the room. You might not be from the wealthiest family in the room. But that doesn't matter to God. All he's looking for is a heart that simply says yes. That's all he wants, a heart that says yes. And if you were willing to do that, even when it takes you beyond your comfort zone, and trust me, God has a great ability of doing that, taking you way out of your comfort zone. But if you're willing to just say yes, watch what he'll do with your life. And every time I take another girl and I see Felicity, and it's Felicity I'm rescuing again and again and again. And it is exactly that. It's stopping for the one in order to reach the nations, in order to reach the masses. Numbers matter. There's a whole book in the Bible about it. Numbers definitely matter. But if we lose sight of the one, you know, and it's a challenge to us, because sometimes we can say, oh, well, I'm no Billy Graham. I'm no Rhino Bonkey. You know, I'm not called to that. They are. That's their gifting. That's their skills. And that's great. but you are called to the ones that you reach, because there's people you reach in your path that they'll never reach. There's people that God will put in your path, the people you live next door to, the people you meet in the coffee shop, the people in your workplace. And you're the one that God's put in their path that you might just be his hands and feet. So we were out in Sierra Leone with Tim last November, and we did what we call a dignity project. So the dignity project all started because 2 years ago I was back out in Kenya with my babies, and I was out in the, we've got a big school and a big property there, some homes for the kids and primary school or secondary school, and we do a lot of street evangelism, a lot of village evangelism. And so I'm out by the school gates, and this lady comes up to me. And she said, Becky, can you pray for me? My child's been missing for X amount of months. But as I start to speak with her, she reveals that her and her husband had split up and there were some family problems. And if I'm honest with you this morning, the whole time I am saying my nice, neat, little, very British prayer over her, I've actually justified in my head that actually probably the father's come in the middle of the night and took the child to almost punish the mother, and that's why a child can just go missing. And I rationalised away the problem while I did my nice little English prayer. Except 2 days later, I'm again out in the village and a second mum comes up and she said, Mama Becky, can you pray for me? My little girl's been missing for 5 months. Except this time I started to ask her the same questions, and this time there was no breakdown in the marriage. This time there was no family problems. This time the little girl was doing well in school and there would be no reason she would run away from school. And it left me with a huge burden. And this time when I was praying, I was actually praying. And this time when I walked away from this mummy, I didn't walk away from this problem. And God has the incredible ability of just sometimes prompting you in the right direction. You see, I'd read all about human trafficking, I'd heard all about it, but it's not until you realise it's happening on your doorstep that it kind of changes things. I got in touch with an organisation in Nairobi who confirmed many girls from villages just like mine had been trafficked there for, goodness knows, all different types of things. And to find out it was happening on my doorstep, I couldn't rationalise away that problem. See, once you see a need, you can never unsee it. You can want to unsee it, you can wish you'd not seen it, but once you've seen it with these eyes, you can never unsee it. And I was determined in my heart I had to do something, just like I felt with little Felicity of, I don't know what I can do, but I've got to do something. I felt the exact same way with this mummy at the school gates. Now, I'm a nurse by background, and it's drummed into us that prevention is better than cure. It's better for the NHS if I can vaccinate you against TB than having to treat you to go through it. It's better for you as the patient, but it's better for the NHS cost-wise. And prevention is better than cure. And I suddenly started, as I began to pray about human trafficking, I began to pray, well, what if we can take that approach of prevention into human trafficking? What if we can apply that? I started to dig around and I found out that actually many girls are missing a week of school every single month simply because she doesn't have access to sanitary equipment. Because of that, when she's finished primary school, she's missed a quarter of education. And in places like Kenya and in places like Sierra Leone, they can't just necessarily go on to high school, go on to secondary. And so for many of our girls in the outbacks of Kenya, they can't go on to high school because they don't have the results leaving primary because they've missed a quarter just for something so basic that you and I don't have to worry about. And so I thought, what if I could get into these schools, go into the primary schools, give these girls reusable sanitary equipment to keep them in school every single week of the month, but also then tell them all about human trafficking, the whens and the hows, the tactics of traffickers. What if I can empower these beautiful girls that actually they are clothed with strength and dignity? What if they can laugh without fear of the future because someone's gone in with the love of God? The beautiful part of the Dignity Project is we sum it all up, explaining that actually no price can be put on these beautiful girls because the highest price has already been paid for them through Jesus Christ, that he's already paid the price for them. And because of that, they are dignified. Because of that, they can laugh without fear of the future. And so we're going in, and it's incredible because I believe it's a strategy of heaven. Not only are we able to reach girls before the traffickers and therefore hopefully prevent them from ever going through the abuse, but we're also getting into places that are normally shut off to the gospel. We have a schools outreach team in Kenya who are reaching up to 10,000 kids every week with gospel. But there are many schools in our villages that don't want to know. They don't want our schools team. They don't want to know about Jesus. They've got their own life sorted out. Thank you very much. We don't need to know about your Jesus. And yet these same schools that are shutting off to our schools team are desperate for the Dignity Project. And God's opening areas up that are normally resistant to the gospel and for the Dignity Project. And so we're able to go in there, open site, right with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not allowed to put this out on social media, but tonight Matt and I actually fly to Pakistan and we're going with the Dignity Project into a nation that's shut down for the gospel, and we're able to go straight in, right with the love of Jesus Christ, going in with the gospel of Jesus, because that is where the power lies. If we can just declare who he is, how he loves, that's where the power lies. Galatians 5:6 says this: the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, the context is this whole scripture, they're talking about circumcision, which I'll not go into today. You'll be glad to know. But it sums it up with all the different rituals, with all the different legalities, with all the different stuff that's going on. Actually, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. And what if we stop the whole nonsense? What if we have to abide by laws, so don't mishear me, but what if we put aside all the different arguments and debates that often take place in our lives and in our church world and in all the different stuff we're dealing with, and actually just focus on, actually, God, what if I could just express my faith through your love? Because that's the only thing that counts. And the challenge to you and I this week is constantly, how can I show his love through what I'm doing this week? How can I show his love through my faith this week? How is his love going to translate in my life? I'm going to introduce Matthew in a second, and the testimony he's got will really, I hope, inspire you, give you faith for what is sometimes a hopeless situation. And I won't steal his thunder, so I won't say too much. But I remember going through that when he was in and out of consciousness, and it was an incredibly dark and incredibly lonely time, actually. And I remember one day just saying, God, you know, I really need you in this moment. And he carried us through. And I remember a memory verse that I'd learned as a little girl, that the peace that surpasses understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind through Christ Jesus. And I don't know what you're going through in your situations this morning, but I do know this. The love of God and the peace of God is here to guard your heart, to guard your mind from all the crazy thoughts, from all the craziness that life sometimes throws at you. He walks with you. You are not alone this morning. And so I'm going to intro the video first so you can see a little bit more of the work we're doing. And then Matt's going to get straight up. But I pray this morning you're blessed. We would love to pray with you afterwards. So thank you. We'll have the video. Thank you.
...2006 would prove to be a year that changed the life of Becky Murray forever. She was a young missionary in Sierra Leone, and she met a girl by the name of Felicity. She bought her some shoes, and Felicity wrongly assumed that the only reason she bought her shoes was in return for sexual favors. That moment scarred Becky's heart forever, and she knew something had to be done. So on December 12, 2012, King's Children's Home in Bumalabi, Kenya opened its doors for the first time. The children's home cost £150,000 to build, but it was paid off in cash, no debt. It started with only 42 children, but today there's almost 200 of them. One by one, school outreach team launched in 2016, and now they're in 18 schools, reaching approximately 9,000 children per week. The Dignity Project is reaching girls at risk of human trafficking, and it started in 2015. But now, today, it's reaching over 4,500 girls. In the next year, the Dignity Project will expand to Sierra Leone, Pakistan, Swaziland, South Africa, and Cambodia. In 2016, Hope Sri Lanka was launched. More than 150 widows and their children are being fed every single day. In the last 3 years, 226 people have joined one by one on mission trips all over the world. Through your giving, one by one has sent 914,976 pounds. That's more than $1.2 million directly sent to the mission field.
Awesome. Praise God. Wow, it's been a crazy few years, and it's getting crazier. Tonight we fly to Pakistan, so please keep us in your prayers. We would much appreciate that. If you want to get some updates on that, just search for us on social media, and you can follow us, and you'll be able to pray. In fact, if the sermon is boring in the next 20 minutes, you could even pretend you're reading your Bible on your phone and do it then. I'm going to read you a quick verse, and then I'm just going to share my little story about what God did. You can grab one of these magazines afterwards. This is free. I know how much Christians like free things, so you can get one of these. That'll tell you all about what we're doing. And then you can grab a book. This is £5. All the money goes directly to what we're doing. We don't get paid for being here today. This goes absolutely straight to the mission field. This is a story of my healing, which I'm going to tell you about. And finally, the Dignity Project is what we partnered with you guys in Sierra Leone. We reached, a couple of hundred girls there in Freetown. And you can also be a part of that. It's just £10 a month will enable one girl to be reached. So just think about that while we're talking. And if you can help, that would be great. Psalm 41 says this, just the first three verses. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. Wow, it's a pretty cool promise for those of us who may consider the poor. So, about 3 years ago now, 3.5 years ago, I was in Kenya. We do several mission trips a year. Life is pretty crazy for us. We pastor a church in Utoxto, about 2 hours north of here, and then we're on mission probably once a month. One of us is somewhere in the world doing something for the gospel. So life's pretty manic. And in October 2014, I was in Kenya doing a mission trip. We have incredible mission trips. We have our base in Kenya in a little village named Bumala, which we were the first ever missionaries to go there about 12 years ago now, preaching the gospel, planting churches. And it's just been incredible to see the transformation, what God has done in that village. So I just flew in there for a few days, then came back. Then I was flying straight to America. We also have an office in America where we do a lot of fundraising and build up connections with churches. And I remember being there and just started, after about a week or so, feeling quite sick. Now, how many know that if you're a man, typically you don't like to admit when you're ill? And you certainly don't want to go anywhere near a doctor. We don't really like doctors. So I kind of shook this thing off for a few days and just felt, you know what, it'll be okay. To my disadvantage, I was living at the time in a house full of women, my wife being one of them, you'll be glad to know. And I was didn't really get much sympathy. So it was branded man flu. There you go. So people were kind of not really giving me much compassion. And then, but the symptoms were getting worse. I was shivering, I was shaking, I was sweating. But I was not going to go and see that doctor. I'm a northerner. We don't need doctors. So I get on a plane from, I'm in Kentucky and I'm trying to get down to Alabama. So I'm in Atlanta Airport. You know, in America, nearly every flight you ever take goes through Atlanta. So it's, they often say that when Jesus returns for his church, he'll stop at Atlanta on the way. And so I was in Atlanta. I remember feeling so sick. And then I got to Mobile, Alabama. And man, I gave in and I said, I really need to see a doctor. So my friend says, well, I've got a friend. He's a friend of mine. He's a doctor. He'll see you. So I go there. And here's when God does his first little miracle in this story. Because I walk into the office of Dr. Michael Mahoney at Eastern Shore Medical Care on Highway 181, Daphne, Alabama. And he instantly has compassion on me. And he is a Christian man. And he's a Catholic medical missionary. And he hears why I'm in the nation. He says, look, I'm going to take care of your medical costs under my care. Now, that is a miracle in America. I don't know if any of you have ever been to America, but it is not cheap to be ill in America. Now, if Yorkshiremen don't like the doctor, that's one thing. We certainly don't want to pay to go and see one. Okay? I mean, so it cost me $100 just to walk through the door. That's like £70 to walk through the door. So Mike Mahoney gave me my $100. I'm the only man in history to get a refund from an American doctor. But he looked at me, did some tests. He said, this isn't good. Take some tablets. If you're still sick in 2 days, come back. It's probably like an infection. I'm like, okay, great. So I take the medication, and 2 days go by, and I get worse. I mean, now it's to the point where I can't leave the bedroom. I can't go to the bathroom. I can't walk. I'm so weak, I can barely even get into a car. So I'm starting to think, maybe this thing's a little bit more serious. So I go back to the doctor, and he takes one look at me, and this time panics and says, whoa, your blood results are really weak, really scary. You've got to get to a hospital right now. I'm like, wow, this suddenly got serious. So my wife gets in the car. She drives me. She drops me off at the hospital. And I'm able just to walk to the reception desk, like just about. So I walk there and I give my name to the receptionist. And that's about all I remember because I just collapsed in a heap on the floor and began to be sick. And then next thing I know, I'm in a wheelchair and I'm getting wheeled down into a room for tests. So suddenly fear comes upon me. Suddenly I get scared. Suddenly I think, wow, this is more than just a bit of man flu. This is like a real illness. It's kind of serious. So I'm like, what's going to happen? It's then for the first time I hear the word Ebola in my ear. And it turns out they looked at me. They said, you have every symptom of Ebola. You haven't been to Africa recently, have you? I'm like, oh no, what do I do now? Should I be a Christian or not? So I decided to be a Christian, you'll be glad to know. And I said, yeah, I was there just last week. And then the alarm bells started going off. They said, look, you have every symptom of Ebola. This was the exact week when all of the world was panicking about Ebola. Now, don't worry, I don't have it. Okay, just want to make that clear. I can see a few nervous faces. I shook your hand on the way in. So I just want to make that clear. And I do not have Ebola, okay? But they thought that I did. So they put me in a quarantine room for 3 days. And they said, well, you're going to have to be here until we can do the tests for this illness. So, I mean, this is pretty serious. And I'm in a room. Nobody's allowed in. And the doctors and the nurses come in and they wear the big protective suits. And they walk in and they start doing tests on me. My wife isn't allowed in the room. Our little boy, who was 3 at the time, has to come to a glass window and wave at daddy and blow kisses. And he's crying because he's not allowed in the room. So all of a sudden, this is pretty serious. They're taking tests. They're doing blood tests. They're testing my organs. And I'm starting to lose consciousness. I can feel life being drained out of me. I mean, it's terrifying. It's scary. My wife's not even allowed to be next to me and hold my hand. No one can pray with me. I mean, it's so scary. But I don't even know that when I was in that room alone, I wasn't really all alone. Because a few years back, I'd made a decision to accept Jesus into my life. And I'd made a decision that he would be Lord of my life. And he made a promise back to me. And he said, I am with you always. I'm the God who will never leave you or forsake you. So here I am in this room, this isolation unit, machinery, doctors, Ebola, suits. It's scary. But here I am knowing that Jesus is with me. I wasn't in that furnace alone. The doctor comes back. It's a couple of days later. He said, "You don't have Ebola. You have malaria." I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Woo! We can deal with that one." I'd never been so happy to be told I had a potentially fatal tropical disease. Now, here's what I'm thinking. We get malaria all the time in Africa, okay? Our children, every time I go to Kenya, there's one kid in bed with malaria. And we give them some tablets, we pray for them. Within a couple of days, they're running around. Hey, but malaria is actually the biggest killer in the world. I don't know if you know that. So it's actually, they say that if 5% of it gets in your blood, you can die. So it just takes 5% of this blood, of this parasite, to get in your bloodstream. And if untreated, it can kill you. Now, they did a test on me, and because it had been 3 weeks while I'd been carrying this with no treatment whatsoever, they said, "You're at 20%. So that's pretty serious. Then 2 more days go by, and my body rejects the medicine. So it goes from 20% to 50%. This is when they pull my wife into a room, and they say, "We're very sorry, Mrs. Murray, but your husband, there's nothing else we can do. And we think that he could die within the next 2 or 3 hours because medicine can no longer help." Now, if that's not bad enough, my organs were also severely damaged. So my organs were extremely hurt. They were going into my heart was enlarged. My lungs had collapsed. My liver was in failure. My kidneys were completely finished. They said, "Your kidneys are over." They said, "My brain is damaged." So they said, "All my major organs," it's called cerebral malaria, "all my major organs are damaged and you're at 50%. I'm unconscious. I don't know what's going on. I'm just kind of coming out, in and out of consciousness and sleep. And it's over, really. There's nothing else that can be done." Now, I don't know where you're at today. Maybe your situation's not quite as serious as that. If it is, we probably should call an ambulance. Or at least have an altar call, pretty sharpish. But maybe today you're feeling like your situation is hopeless. And it may not be a physical condition like this, but it's a situation that's hopeless, that all hope has gone. Now, here's when God steps in. Becky, my wife, she did what all good women and wives would do in a crisis like this. She logged onto Facebook. And social media has its downsides, but it probably helped save my life. Because here I am today. And you can find out if I survived by buying the book. No, just kidding. But I was... But it was incredible. She got out a phone on Facebook and she said, "Please pray for Matthew." Now, some people in this room saw that message. Now, here's why we preachers bang on all the time about the importance of church. You see, the Bible says the church is the bride of Christ. That's the analogy that the Bible uses. The bride of Christ. Now, that's a pretty serious thing when you think about it. The church, which we kind of sometimes can play around so loosely with, God sees it as his bride. Now, I want to say the church may have her faults. Some churches are different to other churches. But I want to also say that the church of Jesus Christ, when working in unity, is the most incredible army on the planet. And the church rallied around me and saved my life. Becky put that call out to prayer and it was shared literally thousands of times. No amount of marketing budget would have got what happened through that Facebook post. I woke up a few days later and I had about 2,000 messages on my phone from complete strangers saying, "We've been praying for you. We've been interceding for you. Our life group's been praying. Our church stopped its service and prayed for you." We got emails. We got phone calls. And I'm talking Brazil, New Zealand, Australia, India, Canada, America, Germany, you name it, everywhere. the messages were coming in. And 3 hours after Becky put that message out and the church had been praying, they pull her in a room, they say, "Becky, we've got some news for you. The malaria has dropped from 50% right down to 10%. And then it went from 10, this is with no medicine, by the way, went from 10 to 5 to 3 to 0. And it completely disappeared in Jesus' name. So then there's a small matter of the organ failure. Now my liver recovers, my heart recovers, my lungs recover, my brain, well, we're still working on that one. And then comes the kidneys. I'm going to finish with this and then we're going to pray for some people and we're going to believe what God did for me, he can do for you. My kidneys are ruined. I'm on dialysis. Anyone ever been on that or heard of that? That is brutal. They drill a hole in your neck. They stick a tube in you. They hook you up to this big machine for 5 hours at a time. I had 10 of those sessions. Monday to Friday, Monday to Friday. They give you the weekends off. My friend, some of you may know his name. Yeah, it's nice of them, isn't it? They give you the weekend off. My friend, some of you may know his name. His name is Nathan Morris. He led me to Christ. I was his assistant for many years. Has a great gift of healing on his life. Very good friend to know when you're in A&E. And he said he's going to come and see me. So I thought, great, awesome. And he drove a long way to visit me. So on the Friday, the doctor said, "Well, you're going to have your dialysis continue on Monday." And they said, "You're going to need this for the rest of your life, 5 days a week." Wow. I'm trying to run around the world, rescue orphans, you know, feed people, build schools, plant churches. And here they are saying, "This is it for the rest of your life." That's pretty tough to hear. So Nathan is coming on the Sunday. So I said to the doctor, he said, "You'll need that machine again on Monday." I said, "No, I won't. My friend's coming in. He's a healing evangelist from Florida. He's going to come lay hands on me. The power of God's going to touch me and I'm going to be healed." And he thought, wow, that malaria really did go to his brain. This guy's crazy. So he thinks I'm a nutter. So anyway, Nathan comes in, lays hands on me. Here's the thing I want to tell you, and I'm racing through this. Nothing like spooky happened, okay? I believe in falling on the floor and all that stuff. That's great. That can happen. It does happen. But nothing, I mean, he just prayed for me and gave me some hobnobs. That was it, okay? Maybe we should have brought some hobnobs. Maybe that was it. Maybe I've been missing the secret all along. So, yeah, great cure for malaria, hobnobs. So he prayed for me. Then he disappeared. He went. He drove back. And Monday morning comes around. The doctor knocks on my door. At 7 o'clock in the morning, he said, "Matthew, you're not going to believe this. Something incredible happened over the weekend. Your kidney results are better than they were on Friday. We're going to give you one more day off for dialysis, but you'll be back on it tomorrow." I'm like, that's a coincidence. Because my friend came and prayed for me yesterday. You know that healing evangelist guy I told you about? He's like, "Nah, well, whatever." Walks away. Did you have any hobnobs? No. Couldn't explain it. No. Tuesday comes by. Same thing happens. Knocks on my door. And he said, "Matthew, something changed in your results overnight. The malaria, the kidneys are improving. We're going to give you one more day off a machine, but you'll need it tomorrow." Now, what I didn't tell you is when Nathan Morris walked in my room, he had a look of fire in his eyes. He wasn't coming with grapes. He was coming with the power of God. He walked in my room. He said, "Matthew, God spoke to me. This week, it is over. You'll be released in the next 7 days from this prison." I'm like, wow, that's pretty specific. That can't be gray. That's right or wrong, 7 days. So I'm thinking, I've got this 7-day thing to get out of here. Or he's a fake. So which one's it going to be? So, and I knew he wasn't a fake because I've traveled around the world with him and seen some incredible stuff. Wednesday comes around, the same thing happens. "Matthew, you're not going to believe this. Your results change even more. I'm going to give you one more day off the dialysis, but you'll be back." I'm like, "Doctor, God healed me." So I'm like, this is like, he really did heal me. He's like, "Okay." That afternoon, a lady knocks on my door. She's one of the kind of porters in the hospital. It's American healthcare for you. Yeah, not like the NHS there. So she knocks on the door and she says, "The doctor sent me in this room because he wants me to take this machine away for another patient. Is that okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, take it." That machine went out of that door. That's the last time I ever laid eyes on it. And the following day, I was discharged with a clean bill of health. And God did a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we get the worship team here? And we're just going to pray. We've got a few minutes. And God did a great miracle. Is it because I had great faith? No, but I had a little bit. I just had a little bit of faith where I knew that God could do something. So maybe today, maybe you need a miracle. Maybe there's something going on in your life. It may not be a physical thing, but you just need a little. Jesus said, faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain. And I've raced through that story today to tell you that Jesus is still in the business of healing the sick. And today I've got so much faith. I believe, you know, there's a story in the Bible where the man is lowered through the roof by his four friends. The Bible says because of their faith, he was made well. Not the guy on the mat, but the four friends who brought their friend to Jesus. Today, we're believing God with you. Tim and I have been texting all week saying, we're believing God. Something's going to happen today. Wow. The presence of God's here. We're going to sing a song about miracles. And wouldn't it be great if God just showed up and did something incredible here today? And I've sensed the presence of God all morning. And it might be that, you know, it's very rare we can do this on a Sunday. I know that there's so many things to fit in and do and timings and children's ministries, and it's difficult. But in these next few moments, maybe you could just lean out to Jesus and say, I'm here. Do something great in this place. If you need a miracle from God, why don't you just stand to your feet right now, wherever you are? If there's any kind of physical pain, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He's the God of miracles. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who raised Lazarus from the dead. The same God who healed blind Bartimaeus is here right now in Watford, wanting to touch his people. I believe God wants to do such a great work in this church. In Jesus' name. Those of you who are standing, why don't you just come and make your way down here? Be brave. Just come down here. We're just going to pray for you real quick. And then I want the rest of the congregation, if possible, just to stand to your feet and pray. This is not a spectator sport. It's something we need your help in. We need faith to arise in this room as we sing of miracles, as we sing of God's power. In Jesus' name. I don't know if anyone here has got a shoulder complaint. If you've got anything wrong with your shoulder, you got a shoulder complaint, come here. Which shoulder is it? This one. In Jesus' name, be healed right now. We command the pain in the shoulder to go. I pray right now, God, for all the muscles to align. I pray for pain to vanish. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Let the power of God come upon you and set you free in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Shoulder in Jesus' name. What shoulder? Be healed right now. She says she can't lift her arm. We're going to believe God that he's going to do something. In Jesus' name, be healed. May the healing power of God come right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be healed. Just lift your hand if you're able. Just keep lifting it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Just where you are, keep reaching out to God. If you're still at the front and you don't feel breakthrough, then stay and press in. But I want to encourage everybody right the way to the back. I want you to bring your situations to the Lord where you are believing for breakthrough. I believe some people here need words of knowledge to unlock situations. I believe some people here need strategies. There's almost like algorithms are needed to be able to solve situations that some people are facing in workplaces and in different contexts. And I believe today God wants to bring breakthrough and miracles in unsurprising ways into the body of Christ that might not be physical, but will be in your workplaces, in your neighborhood. So if that's you, I want you to reach out to God where you are. Holy Spirit, we know that you are here. Holy Spirit, we know. Our God is the God of miracles, and I pray for every situation that is being faced by every person in this room. I pray for families where there is tension, that you, the God of miracles, will bring peace that surpasses understanding, that you will bring a softening of our hearts, amongst relatives. I pray for workplaces where there are difficult situations that need unlocking. And I pray right now, God of miracles, for breakthrough in workplaces, that you will download solutions, that you will download strategies, that you will give keys that will unlock situations. I pray for neighbors, relationships between neighbors, Lord, that you will do something in breakthrough that will usher in your kingdom. Father, I thank you that when you sent your disciples out, you sent them where you were following. And I pray that there will be a sending where you will follow this week, where you will usher in breakthroughs where you have positioned us for purpose. Lord, I pray that some people today will and this week will lead colleagues into your presence because you will be following them into their workplaces. You are the God of miracles. You are the God of miracles. I pray that our eyes will open to what you are doing and we will see you are the God of all miracles.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We press into you, Lord. We thank you that you hear our prayers in this place. For those who step forward in faith for healing, we need to continue in that place of prayer through the rest of today and reaching out to God. We're looking for miracles in his timing and his way for his glory. But if as we were praying, did anyone feel something immediately shifting and changing as we were praying? Did anyone feel something it's actually changing and the Lord's hand on your body as we were praying? Just raise your hand if that's the case. Did anyone feel something here while we were praying? I know God was doing something over here. I just know that God has heard our prayers. He's the God who does miracles and we trust him. And when we have nowhere else to turn, we turn to him, yes? That's who he is and we give him the glory for what he's done. Now we're going to sing one more song together, and as we do this, we're going to give of our tithes and our proportional giving and our offerings. I'm going to say if you want to make a particular gift towards One and One as an expression of our thanks for Matthew and Becky being here today, you can just write that on the envelope, tick other and just write One and One, and we'll pass that gift along to them. It's been great to have them with us, hasn't it? And particularly, would you remember to pray for them as they go to Pakistan this week? They've got to protect them. It's not a safe place to go in the name of Jesus. Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.